How did you recover? So you're doing great now. You get give me the version of like what happened between 08 and then now, I guess.
Tough times.
Yeah.
Real tough. I went from being the guy that was a president of a bank, you know, that everybody looked up to.
Sure.
Our kids were in private school. We loved where we were. Now I don't have a job.
Yeah.
I don't have any way to provide for my family. I'm not wanting to go out in public, you know, because first thing, what do guys do right when they first see each other? Hey, man, yeah. What's up? How's business?
How's work? Yeah.
Yeah. What you doing these days?
Yeah.
Well, that's the last thing I wanted to do.
Sure.
So I withdrew, stayed back. I didn't do. A guy that I knew that had a janitorial company, and he was doing work at night, and I went, okay, I can do that. I was selling insurance door-to-door during that time, too, knocking on doors, selling burial policies.
Burial policies. Oh, Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. So you're selling burial policies during the day. So this is a true example of, like, you know, hard times hit us all at some point. Some more severe than others, but hard times hit us all at some point. You just said, hey, I could sit here and bellyache, or I can sit here and go do something. So you're selling burial policies door to door and then cleaning buildings at night.
Correct.
I used to teach school and clean buildings at night. So the cleaning buildings at night, I've been there. So you're doing that. Now tell me what from there.
So the burial policy company I was with had a decent contract, but you know, I was working my tail off. And I knew I could do a little bit better, but I didn't know. I really wasn't where I wanted to be, but I knew I had to do something. So I found a company, I had a better contract, and I knew if I do this amount of work with a better contract, meaning a higher percentage of payout, same amount of work, I could make more. So I did that. And, it was one of the leaders in the company across the nation.
Yeah.
You know, went on trips, you know, enjoying, still cleaning buildings at night.
Yeah.
You know, doing that because I'm shell-shocked, okay, because what I loved and what I was doing got taken away from me. Now I'm scared to let loose of anything.
Sure.
You know.
That's real.
Yeah, I've got to keep going.
Yep.
And I can't stop. Well, I remember telling myself one time, driving through neighborhoods, I was kind of telling God what he needed to do.
That's right.
All right? You know, I wasn't doing a lot of listening at that time.
Yeah.
Banging the steering wheel a little bit. And I said, okay, God, here's where we are. As if he didn't know.
Sure.
I said, I don't have any life insurance, so I can't die. I don't have any health insurance, so I can't get sick. I don't have any disability insurance, so I can't get broke up. So you just gonna have to keep me alive, well, and healthy.
That's right.
So I can keep going. And he did.
And he did.
He did.
Yeah.
It was like, I thought I was bargaining with God, but I was really kind of, what I go back and realize then is like, sometimes I had wisdom I didn't even know I had. I knew I had to get that out of me.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt.
But I wasn't sure what it was going to look like, you know?
So tell me, you go from selling burial policies and cleaning bills, where does it transition from there?
Then I started a janitorial company.
There you go.
Things.
Yeah.
Didn't even want to do that.
Right.
But I got so many accounts, the other guy couldn't handle it. Started my own. And you know who my employees were?
Who?
My wife and my three kids. Well, that's my awesome. Daughter was at Auburn at this time. So it was my wife and my two sons.
Yeah, just cleaning buildings. Mm-hmm. So how, from there, where did it go to?
We just kept going.
Yeah.
We just kept going. I could not stop.
Yeah.
I wasn't sleeping.
Yeah.
I wasn't much. I mean, I couldn't. I just had to keep going. And so we just kept doing that. Then my son gets a chance to go play college baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to figure out, okay, how do I clean buildings at night, sell insurance during the day, and go watch him
play? Go watch him play ball.
One of the contracts I had came up to me going, hey, I think we're going to make a change if you're okay with that. And I went, that's an answer to prayer, and you have no idea.
Yeah.
And so my insurance business was doing well. I was trying to scale back on that, but I was scared.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, but God goes, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. I'm going to help make this decision so you don't have to.
Yeah.
Trust me. Remember when you had that conversation with me going, I got insurance, la, 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 la. You know, I got you.
Yeah. Wow.
I got you.
Yeah.
Now, all during this time, my sons were helping me at night after football games on Friday night.
Wow.
We're going to have to keep going. I'll cry.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. So.
So after you're in the cleaning business, and it's a family business.
Oh, yeah.
And it's awesome.
Right.
And so, but you eventually got back into
banking. I got back into lending because a friend of mine told me, he said, hey, look, you need to stop doing this. You're not having fun selling burial policies. You don't want to get back into the insurance business. You need to get back into lending. Here's a guy that'll hire you tomorrow. And I went, okay, let's go. What bank's he with? He goes, he's not with the bank. He owns his own mortgage company. I went, don't want to do residential lending. But I went, okay, if this door opens.
Sure. May need to walk through it.
I did. And did that for 3 years. And during that time, this guy let me start my commercial loan business back up.
Right.
From his office.
Yeah.
While I was doing residential lendings, under the understanding that if I closed a commercial loan in his space, I would share a fee as if it was a referral, which I was perfectly happy doing that. So it kickstarted me back into the lending world.
Right.
And I started getting the taste again. Started getting that, you know, because the biggest thing I missed the most.
Right.
All right. Was not the money that I made. It was the opportunity to give it away.
Yeah.
That's what I missed the most. Mm.
When you say give it away, you mean tithing, giving people, blessing people,
above
things like that.
Yeah, above and beyond tithe. I always tithe.
Yeah.
Even when I was making $15 an hour as a cleaner.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and cash, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, the kids knew, hey, that money doesn't go into a Dave Ramsey envelope.
No
that
doubt.
Money goes into the offering plate.
Right.
You know. And so I'll never forget the time I had to go to FCA, who was one of my heart, you know, in Montgomery, and tell them, I can't write checks anymore.
Mm, yeah.
And I go, don't worry about it, Bert. We got you. And so you'll be back.
Yeah.
You know, don't fret. You'll be back. You've helped too many people to go through this.
Yeah.
Now, here's a lesson I wasn't expecting during that time, Thomas. Be honest with you.
Yeah.
As men, we're very prideful.
Very can be, yes, sir.
All right. I had a hard time receiving. I didn't want a handout. I didn't want a gimme. I wanted to earn.
Oh yeah, of course.
The money.
Yeah.
So there was a mentor that had poured into me. All my summer jobs had been with him and their family since I was 13 years old. And so he would call me up going, hey, what you doing tomorrow? And I was like, Doc, you know I ain't doing anything. I ain't got a job.
You ain't got no job.
Yeah. I ain't got no J-O-B.
That's right,
He goes, I need some help. And I knew what that meant.
Sure.
Come over to his house, go to their farm, here's a list of things I want you to do. So I'd go do them, and then he'd meet me in his driveway, pull his hands out of his pocket, and kind of do like this.
Yeah.
And I knew what that was. There was going to be a whole lot more money in his hand than I had earned.
Mm.
And I looked at him one day and I told him, I ain't taking it. Come on, Doc.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, he goes, you have a hard time receiving, don't you? And I went, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
He goes, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I said, what's that? He goes, what if I didn't have the gift of giving? I went, what do you mean? He goes, what if I didn't have the gift of giving and you wouldn't receive and God's trying to teach me how to give?
That's real
and
good.
And man, that was a checkup from the neck up. And I thought, oh my gosh. And I went, I think I can
receive. I can tell you, no doubt, yeah.
But it allowed me to see that people have gifts out there each and every day, and some people don't know what they are.
Absolutely.
And if we won't allow God to use us in those moments, whether it's either receiving, listening, or giving, then what good are we doing?
What good are we doing? All the business stuff that you've done, so you've seen a ton of lending. I mean, like, there's so many deals that have crossed your desk. When you're talking about commercial loans, what's the number one thing that business owners get wrong when they're trying to get a commercial loan? What do you see there?
They think that they're underwritten like a residential loan. They'll come to me and going, hey, I need a pre-approval. I went, doesn't work like that. I'm going, well, no, my broker said I just need to get a pre-approval because they want to make sure I'm approved. I went, okay. Tap the brakes.
Yeah.
Sit in residential lending because I've been there, done that, got a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Let me show you what we need to do. Give me the particulars. We'll look at it. And at that point, they're not really prepared. They think all they got to do is show I make money, the business makes money, or the building, and they want a loan based on the value of the property, not the value of the property with regards to what it can do.
The business.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because some of these properties are vacant, but they're thinking, I'll put a tenant in. I went, okay, that's good. But until then, show me the reserves you have to be able to carry this note along until you get them in there.
In case something happens.
And you know the other thing too? I've never seen a pro forma, and you've never seen a pro forma, and a business owner has never seen a pro forma that loses money.
They're not out there.
They all make money.
All of them do.
Now we got to look at them going, peel it back,
right.
Skin it back, make yeah. sure it's good.
What's the number one red flag you see with on these documents, these things that people give to you that keeps people from getting funded? The number one thing, is there anything out there that's like glaring?
If it's an owner-occupied property,
yep.
if they're taking a massive salary, and there's no line item on there for replacement reserves and for maintenance, then I'm thinking they are bleeding this dry and there's no hiccup
sure.
at all.
Okay.
And so when I have to go back and they'll tell me, no, it's a brand new building. I said, I get it. You know, and if the money's making this, I'm going to take a salary. I get it. But what you don't understand yeah. is that if we got to take it back, we got to plug these numbers in.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your numbers and I love the positivity and I love that outlook that you have and that I can do anything type mode, but you have to understand we got to skin it back. Not that we're looking for reasons to say no, but we got to be realistic because the last thing a lender wants to do is get into the real estate business.
Bro, that's not what you guys are there for. It's like I talked to a buddy of mine that he's bank manager of a city manager of a relatively well-known bank here in town. And he goes, the guy that owns the bank, he ain't into that. Mm-mm. That's not what his business is. It's not his model.
They're in the lending business, not the real estate business.
Correct.
Now, they'll lend on the real estate,
absolutely.
But they don't want it back.
So if you were starting over today in the lending and brokerage business, what would you do?
I chased a lot of deals early that I had no business chasing.
Why?
I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
I was scared. I was nervous. I didn't trust the instincts that I had.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've just got to grab every deal that's out there. And I've got to believe in every deal that's out there, even if I know it's not a good deal. And so it clouded my mind. It messed with my head thinking, I've got to do this, even though I don't trust the sponsor.
Mm.
The asset's not good, but I could make this much money.
Yeah.
I got it in reverse. I started looking at the ends instead of what would get me to the end.
Yeah.
And I got it out of whack. And the business was running me because I was chasing every deal. And you got to remember, too, at that time, I had guys on the East Coast and the West Coast.
Yeah.
You know, these guys wake up early. These guys get to work late.
Mm.
And they stay up late. East Coast, West Coast. And so it was nonstop.
You were working 15 hours, 16 hours a day.
Nonstop.
Wow.
I wasn't waiting for the other shoe to drop. And honestly, Thomas, the other shoe had already dropped. I was barefooted. It's not like I was scared of losing something. I didn't have anything.
Yeah.
So I was just going as hard
as I could. Just going as hard as you possibly could.
You're wide open.
Right. So what is something that a bank will never tell you, but you wish that all business owners knew?
I learned that one kind of in an interesting way. In traditional banking, everybody has to sign a personal guarantee.
Right.
Clients and what owners don't know is that personal guarantee is perpetual and ongoing, and it never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
All right, for instance, let's say you helped your son or daughter or family member with a business, and you co-signed on that loan with them
right.
to get them going. Not saying you pledged extra collateral, but you brought guarantor support. All right, now, son's doing well. He's doing extremely well. And he's paid these loans off. And remember, dad helped?
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, everything turns. Business has gone. So the bank comes back, looks through the files, going, where's our guarantors? They find that guarantor that was signed 10 years ago. And I learned a valuable lesson. Make sure when a client has a loan that pays off and there was anybody on there with them, get it in writing that guarantee has been released.
Release the mortgage. Release the guarantee. Release the personal guarantee.
Yeah, because that loan's been paid off.
Sure.
Now, it only applies on loans that kind of kept going like
right.
that, if there were renewals and
yeah.
things like that. But remember, son was doing well, and he got that renewal on his own. He didn't need dad moving
right.
forward. That was a very, very valuable lesson, and I had to. There were some hard conversations with clients after that because my loyalty was with the bank, but I also had to just maintain complete honesty with folks. Hey, as soon as you pay this loan off, make sure you get a release of your guarantor. But I'm going to come back and borrow again. Good. We'll get a new one signed.
We'll get a new one. It's easy. It's paperwork. It's nothing. What do the best business owners have that makes them a more valuable client?
They know their lanes. They stay in their lanes. They do what they do. They know how to do what they do.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying they only do one thing, but they have a system in place
yeah.
and they have – some methodology that they work with. They have some built-in innate feelings. All right, you take a commercial real estate guy that deals in just office and suburban retail.
That's where he stays.
That's his lane.
He doesn't do fix and flips. He doesn't do multifamily. He doesn't do storage. He does that stuff.
That's right, because that's what he's good at.
And
that's
he knows.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Now, does that guy get tempted to get into hospitality, multifamily? Sure. Heck yeah.
We all
I
do.
Tempt him.
We all do, though.
You're good. Let's get into this. Nope. This is my lane. Got to stay in my lane.
The good ones know it.
Yes. And
wow, that's
the good ones also know that everything is risk reward, and they've got to understand. Just because you got a lot of money don't mean you can take a lot of risk. How did the guy get a lot of money? By managing his risk.
By managing the risk.
Yeah. The very best know when to say no.
It's very, very hard.
Oh, my gosh. Especially when you're cooking with gas.
Well, a lot of times what happens is my buddy Ryan taught me this. He said, when you've got money, deals find you.
Absolutely.
When you've got money, deals find you. And when deals find you, they all look good to start off with. It's like, you know, being at a bar late at night after you've had five drinks. I don't drink, but everybody at that point
everybody
looks good at closing time. But it's the same thing with a deal. When you first get the deal, you're like, okay, all right, this. But then if it's not your lane, you don't know the questions to ask. Mm-hmm. And that's where I've seen people get in trouble is I didn't think to ask that question.
I know. And the thing is, a lot of people will say, well, you know, this thing doesn't debt service, doesn't cash flow. Then the natural response is, well, put more money in it.
Yeah.
Hey, throwing more money at a bad deal doesn't make it a good deal.
No.
You're just putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. You're going to have to rip it off.
At some point. Yeah. Wow.
So those guys that know how to say no and can quickly look at something. I have so much respect, Thomas, for the guy. Because I get deals all the time that I'm sending out because it's not necessarily what I do.
You sent me that deal last week.
Yes.
And
what did you do?
I looked at it
and said,
and analyzed it. And I was like, okay, where is it at? Because there's a part of me that thinks to myself, if I need to get down there in a day and back, I can. It checked that box. What is the space? It was acreage. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how to evaluate that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to put a value on 9 acres in that city. Number two. Number three, it was a residential. It was like residential-ish. I don't totally understand that space, and I don't totally understand that city. I didn't know what the value was in that city. I didn't know if it had Mountain Brook values or, you know, Brighton values. And all these boxes were just unchecked. I was like, nah, bro, I'm good.
Stay in your lane. Stick to your guns. Know when to say no.
Yep.
And it goes back to, remember what I told you, my buddy? Who was teaching me commercial lending?
Yep.
When I'd go find a deal and I'd bring it to his desk and I'm throwing, you know,
all them,
everything. And he looked at me, he goes, you need an answer now? I went, you dang right. We got to get it into committee tomorrow. He goes, you need an answer now? It's no.
It's no. That's good.
Give me some time to think about it. It can go to a maybe.
My wife always says, she says, if the answer's not yet, if the Lord not giving you a yes, then it's usually a no.
Mm-hmm.
My business buddy said, if it's not a hell yes, it's an absolute no.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the risk mitigation comes in.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and don't discount that inner peace that you get whenever you... All right, it's like this morning. I was talking to an investment banker buddy of mine who's in the process of starting something that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The minute he started telling me about it, I went, all right, I like this. I like this. Okay? Because there are plenty of times you get on the phone and it's just like, it's almost like you're listening to Charlie Brown's teacher. And you better trust your instincts that you have. I call it my women's intuition sometimes.
Oh, sure. No, that's it.
But also it's that still small voice from
the Holy Spirit
will lead you.
Listen.
Because you know something? God will let you be self-sufficient as long as you want to be.
Listen, I'm telling you something. We sat down with a guy, a younger guy, a little younger than me, late 30s, and he had this idea. And I'm not even going to go into the idea. It was an idea that was going to be downtown. And I just sat there and I went, this has got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But he was so shot, as my old ball coach, shot in the tail about this idea. He thought it was the best thing since peanut butter. And I looked at him. I was like, hey, bro. I see how you're just super excited about this. But, bro, this I can't.
I'm not your guy.
I'm not your guy. And like, I just couldn't do it. Like, it just didn't make sense to me.
And Thomas, that has become, and what you don't realize when you say that, you immediately, your mind goes back to, I want to help them.
Yeah.
But you're probably helping them more than you realize by not saying yes. Because what I've learned over time and in life is that as much as I want to say yes to everybody, sometimes I just have to sit down with them going, okay, hold on just a minute. I hear you. I know what you're wanting to try to do. But now it's just not the right time. Especially in the residential space when I was doing that, I would have to tell people, I can't, I tell them, I'm not telling you no. I'm just telling you not now. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If you'll stick with me and you'll pay attention, I can turn a no or not now into a yes. But you got to listen and you've got to be committed. Because if you're just wanting a quick yes and then you're going to hang up for me and go to the next guy, then eventually you might find that greater fool that's going to do this. But you better pay attention to what's being told you.
So how many times have you been in a deal where the guy comes to you, the guy or girl comes to you and says, this is what I want, this is what it's going to pencil this way, the math is this, and you go, no, this ain't good. And then it turns out that you were right. Have you ever had those?
A lot. And the thing is it what I try to do at that point, when I see it's not going to work, I just tell them, hey, guys, I'm not saying your idea is not good, but I'm just telling you, as it stands right now, I just don't see how this is going to work. And let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, that guy's getting shot down a ton.
Yeah.
But sometimes they want to know why.
Sure.
And so I try to, instead of just saying no, I just say, okay, let me tell you why, and here's what I think, okay? Because you got to remember, I'm not the bank. But I got two sets of clients. I've got you looking for money, and I got the bank over here wanting money. I've got to make sure both people are on the same page.
Yeah.
And if I bring a bad deal to the bank and they buy it because of me, they're not going to answer the phone much.
No, they're not.
So I've got to educate you on how to become bankable and get a good deal done. And you know something right now? I know you don't want an equity partner, but maybe that's what you need.
Mm.
Not just from the money standpoint, but from the wisdom.
Wisdom.
And how to negotiate this deal and make it better.
Right.
Because 100% of nothing is always nothing.
Have you ever heard the analogy of the jockey or the horse? Meaning like the jockey is the person running the deal, the business.
Mm-hmm.
The horse is the business.
Mm-hmm.
What is more important to you, the jockey or the horse?
Well, you never want to say you'll make a guarantor-dependent loan.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have to justify to a credit committee that this is guarantor-dependent, you're basically just throwing away, any credibility of the deal. So what you have to do is do your best to describe the business, the horse, and tell them you got a thoroughbred, but we've got a very well-respected jockey on that horse that knows what to do. Been there, done that, got a T-shirt.
Yeah.
But the hard part is, Thomas, is the guy who's that jockey, who's never been a jockey.
That's it.
And he's the guy that drives a shiny pickup truck that just put a magnetic sign on it that says, I'm a builder, I'm a developer, but he's never done it, but he looks. We've all seen that.
Big hat, no cattle.
All hat, no cattle.
Yeah, that's right.
We've all seen that.
Wow.
And they're easier to spot than they used to be for me. And that just comes with age and wisdom and discernment.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got a this or that section that I want to do at the end. And then my last question is this. What's one lesson you pray that your grandkids get from watching your life?
I was so fortunate, Thomas, to have good mentors and good legacy-minded men in my life. I had my dad, I had my father-in-law, had coaches.
Yeah.
And, they would always tell me, when I was playing high school ball, they would tell me, little eyes are watching. You get up into college ball, little eyes are watching. Mm. Now you're a dad, little eyes are watching.
Wow.
I didn't run scared, but I always knew, especially being a PK too now, that there are things that I'm going to do that are going to be looked at a little bit different. And I want my kids and my grandkids to know it's okay not to be okay, but always, always, always do the right thing.
Sure.
You never go wrong by doing
right. Wrong
we talked about
right
that at
thing.
Lunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
I was so blessed. My dad wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
My father-in-law wasn't perfect, but they taught me how to be legacy-minded.
Yeah.
In it's like a good friend of mine, Rex Davis, said, "Legacy is not what you."
I love Rex.
What you leave people is what you put in people.
That's good.
And so I was fortunate to have that. So. All right, I've got two granddaughters, and I've got four grandsons. Every time I see my granddaughters, hey, beautiful, how you doing? You know Potsy loves you? Hey, beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, because the world's not going to tell them they're beautiful.
No, sure.
They're going to tear them down. Hey, buddy, you're so fast.
Yeah.
Let me show Potsy how fast you can run.
That's right.
You're so strong.
Yeah.
You know, constantly encouraging them, letting them know they are loved, they are appreciated, they are God's children.
Yeah.
They're not always going to get it right. But if you build that foundation of
what you
trust
put in them, yeah.
And you put things in them, when, not if, when they fall, I want them coming back.
Sure. Absolutely.
I want them coming back.
Come back to you. That's good. All right. Last section is, I love these. Okay. So I don't want you to think like deeply about this. So I'm going to give you a this or that. I don't know if you've ever played this or that. So this or that, I'm going to give you two words.
Okay.
And you tell me which one is like. More.
And if I don't like my answer, I'm going to tell her, hey, redo.
That's right. All right. So we're going to go relatively fast. Okay. So this or that. I think I got nine of them. All right. Bootstrap business or bank financed growth?
I've done both. So bootstrap business.
Perfect. Mentor one man deeply or impact hundreds from a stage?
Mentor one person deeply because that is my passion.
Good. Close a $10 million deal. Or watch your grandson's first game?
Watching my grandson's first game because I've done the $10 million deal and it's good.
That's right. Take the deal with perfect numbers or trust your gut on a person?
Trust my gut.
Lose the deal and keep your name or win the deal and risk your integrity?
Lose a deal.
That's perfect.
All
That's
day,
easy.
Every day.
I agree. Build one lasting business or flip three successful ones?
Wow. I could go either way with that one. Build one lasting one and just be solid.
Yeah, sure. Start over at 30 with your current wisdom or keep everything you've built at 60.
I'd start over.
Yeah.
And pour into as many folks as I could.
That's good. I read this one, and this was a little hard for me. Pray before making the call or make the call and pray that it works.
I've done both. Hands down, pray before
sure,
I make the call.
Sure, I agree. Yeah. Wait until you have clarity or move forward in faith with uncertainty.
I've done both of those, and moving forward in faith is so rewarding because you know when that happens, it's not you.
Yeah, sure. There's so many hats to wear this last one. So speak the truth, it might cost your relationship, or stay quiet and keep the door open.
At my age, I'm going to speak the truth.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought you'd say. So, hey, it's been great. Your story's awesome. I loved hearing it again. And I really, really appreciate it. If someone needs to find you, whether it be just wants to sit and take you have a cup of coffee or wants to do some business, where do they need to find you? What's the best way?
I don't advertise. I don't have a website. They can find me through you.
Okay.
Or, you know, through Kevin, you know, Kevin Bussey here. Or, I mean, everything I do is phone and email.
What's the best email for someone to get you?
It's my name, Bert.
Mm-hmm.
At BarrowAndAssociatesLLC.com.
There it is.
I don't know what I was thinking when I made it that long. And you got to say, spell out the and.
That's right. Okay? There you go.
All right. I will tell you this. One thing I would like to do. I hear PC say this all the time.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Chris, for those that don't live in Birmingham. Yep.
Okay. Pastor Chris here at Highlands, he says this all the time. If I just had one thing I could do for the rest of my life, it would be, and we all know what it is, it's Highlands College.
Sure.
If I could do one thing for the rest of my life, it would be to mentor the young men that are growing up, because I was blessed to have a good mentor in my life. And it doesn't matter to me about the age. I've got freshmen here at Highlands College that I'm working with, seniors here. I've got business professionals. I've got young men that have two kids, three kids, foster kids, or whatever the case might be, or the guy that's 40-something years old running a billion-dollar company. If I've got something I can pour into those, and I can't tell the guy running a billion-dollar company how to run his company because he's obviously doing well.
Yeah.
but I can pour into him. And I can show him where the potholes of life are going to be and how to navigate those correctly.
Yeah.
And how to stay grounded in who you are. Because God made each one of us.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
To be who we are. And we're all vessels. And we're all waiting to be used by him.
Absolutely.
So that's what I love to do.
Yeah.
That's how we met.
It is.
You know.
It is. It is.
Kevin came up to me and going, hey, Bert, will you mentor this guy? Will you mentor this guy? Will you mentor this guy?
Yeah.
And the answer is always yes.
Yeah.
And then he comes up to me. And he goes, hey, Bert. I went, yes. He goes, no. I want you to meet somebody.
That's right.
And
that's
okay.
That's good.
And that's how
I'm thankful for Kevin. I am. This has been great.
And I am too.
We will continue this for many, many years. So
amen.
Great job.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, Thomas.